All right.
About as good a time as any to start off, I guess.
Absolutely. Hey? I'll just finish my coffee while you go through your normal introductions.
All right, here we go. Good morning and welcome to episode 14 of the Arisen podcast. My name is Mo Dangy. I'm coming to you live via the power of the Wave Vessel all the way from the Southern Forge here in Australia. The other fine host of this podcast is the back-to-back-to-back Honor Content Creator of the Year, Mr. Floor 600.
That's the one.
Mr. 10K yeah. Attack, the Amity Hunter, most attractive man in all of Scotland, the Honor Legend, Mr. Shabash. How are you, Shabash?
Good morning. How are we doing? I'm fine, mate. Good to see you. Good to chat with you again. How's it going down there in the Southern Forge? You're coming into to summertime down there, I believe, right?
Mate, it's absolutely beautiful today. It was 27 degrees Celsius and sunny. So I went for a nice drive with the family, went and saw there's this dam that's the highest it's ever been for, I think, something like 100 years. We went and went for a trek to see that.
You've had some crazy rain down there.
Yeah, ridiculous. The last couple of weeks prior to this, I reckon it was raining every single day. But it's beautiful right now, and we're coming into the best part of the year. So summer for us, and it's getting a bit chilly for you. Is that right?
Yeah, well, that 2 weeks of rain, that's just a normal fortnight up here in Glasgow. Hey, it's, the last couple of weeks is really starting to cool down, get the heating on. Don't really want to look at my energy bills, unfortunately, but that's the way it is. Need to get out and walking and playing some GPS Orna to heat up. But it's actually, the sun is actually shining today, which is fantastic. We had Guy Fawkes night last night, which is basically fireworks going off. So it was like in Glasgow, it's just everybody, you only need to be 18 and I have ID to buy it, so there's no like limitations on it. And it's just every man and his dog setting off fireworks from 2 in the afternoon until 2 a.m. And it's just we ran out of milk last night, so I had to walk down the street at 9 o'clock at night, and it's just like a fog of smoke. Just so many people setting off fireworks. It's crazy.
I've heard of Guy Fawkes Night, actually. So that's all over Europe, is it?
No, it's just UK. Just UK.
Just the UK.
Right. Yeah, Guy Fawkes was the last honest man to enter Parliament. That's the story. Houses of Parliament.
The last honest man. Right, there you go.
He tried to blow it up.
But yeah, I've heard about that. Oh, God. Yeah, okay, I've seen this. Is this where that face
The Vendetta.
Viva Vendetta. Yeah, okay, that's where that comes from. Gotcha.
That's Guy
Fawkes. Nice. Good movie.
I missed there was that event, or I don't know if it was an event because I wasn't playing at the time, but in Orna you had that sprite pack with all the specs with the mask on. I wish I'd actually picked one of them up because I used that from my artwork that I did recently for Where's Carl? V for very loud.
Right. Yeah. Oh, is it too loud, is it? Who's Dro? Is he saying it's a bit loud?
Oops.
Oopsie. Turn your headphones down, Dro. It's an easy solution. Solved. That was the Fool, right? That was the Fool where there was a sprite pack that had all the jesters and whatever. Yeah, Coven had a lot of fun making that. Yes. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that it's still a little bit sunny and hopefully it doesn't get too cold that you can't play Orna. But I mean, if you get locked indoors, Shabash, and you can't get outside to play a GPS game, there is another coming that perhaps you can play while you're indoors.
Hero of Aetherate finally is on our doorstep. I think a lot of people were surprised how close the actual live launch is here. It's only 9 days away as of this podcast going live. So the 15th of November, remember. And it's going to go live with an early access state. But for all the people who have been testing it so far, even I think there were some people, I still saw some chats, people were a little bit confused, but like the testing that's gone on so far, that's going to remain its own test server. So everybody will start early access, the new live server, as fresh characters from level one. I believe that is the case. So everybody's going to start fresh. And the stream volume was in fact perfect, so that's fine.
It was Guy Fawkes, right?
But yeah, it's finally here. So, wow, it's months and months of testing and bug fixes. And I can't imagine what it's been like for yourselves behind the, you know, in the dev team itself. But from the outside, I can't remember when I first got a look at it, HOA, a few months ago anyway. And, but to do that, plus bringing out three absolute banging new events over the last few months, plus working on an entire new game, it's actually, it's pretty awesome, actually, from your side. And, you know, think back to the days when we had Arisen Merlin as for the entire month as our event. And now we've got like Zeus this month for Titans. I'm kind of looking at Zeus as an equivalent to Merlin purely from the fact that he drops about 20 different pages of loot. And that's just one raid. That's one raid boss. And then you look on the event page and there's like 20 other sprites there as part of the main event, not to mention the two mini events going alongside this month. So, I guess it's pretty amazing what you can do with a few extra helping hands, helping the great man Odie.
Yeah, it's insane. I can't believe it. Like, I often have to sit back and have a look at this versus where we were a couple of years ago or even a year ago, you know, where we're rehashing entire months, from last year, even, you know, like this, has it been three out of the last 4 months have had brand new events? And then October had a storyline added to it as well. So there's a little bit of a desire there to add a little bit more lore into existing events. And if there's opportunity to do a whole new event, have a look at doing that and maybe relegate some of the existing ones into mini events, which we've seen a couple of times now. But yeah, it's good fun. It's really good fun being on the, you know, internally, getting to run through all of the potential. But this is fantastic to show that GPS is not going anywhere, right? Like, this stuff is going to keep being developed, and there's great opportunity to develop this stuff for both. Should work across both. Very, very exciting.
That was the goal from the initial post, I think, that the initial blog post that mentioned Hero of Aether is coming. That development will be simultaneous, content will be the same for each game, and I guess maybe lost in communication, you know, people don't read every single word, etc. But just as you said, the fact that we've had three absolute banging new events the last 4 months of the year, plus we've got Towers coming up hopefully by the end of 2022 as well, so I'm excited as a player. Almost had to play too much, which, you know, going into my fourth year, it's good and bad, I guess, because it's good in the fact that I can really pick and choose exactly what content I want to play and what kind of gear I want to go for. And, you know, I can, the problem is when typically the new gear that you're bringing out is actually, it's not just pure stats. It's a little bit of extra utility or functionality, which maybe we didn't have before, which leads to new build options, new build ideas. And it's not just a case of this is clearly best in slot because it has the most attack or the most magic or the most ward on it. And I'm hoping, at least personally, that, and this is what I'm assuming, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but potentially all this extra utility options may come into play more when Towers is actually released.
Those will be interesting. There'll be a lot of challenge there. Yeah. Okay. I don't think I should say too much on that one, just because
very leading question.
See how it develops, but yeah.
Well, that's why I'm. That's my personal hope. Let's say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think Towers will definitely. It'll challenge people very differently than things have been so far. It shouldn't be just a, you know, grab my biggest stat stick and therefore I win Towers. That's not what we're aiming to do here. So it should be good fun. But a lot of this gear it's really interesting. And, you know, like the veteran players who have played like three, some of them 4 years now, which is crazy. Yeah,
4 year badges on some people there.
Yeah, they might have some really good gear, and it's not necessarily a direct upgrade for them. It might be considered a side grade. Some of them might not be able to work out immediately how to build around this stuff. But it's really, really cool. For, you know, not just for them, but it's also cool for somebody who might have just started the game. They got something really different that hasn't been fleshed out yet. So they get the opportunity to run through and work out how to utilize this stuff in ways that no one else. So there's a sense of discovery that hasn't been there probably for a while outside of new events, which we're getting more of them now. And like you said, it's different stuff. It's not just straight stats. We're getting different passives or skills or like the stances on the weapons this time. So, yeah, I mean, we're probably going to jump straight into that of Giants and Titans, I guess, event.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess talk about stuff happening right now in the game rather than speculating what's going to happen with Towers in a couple of months or whatever. So Titans and Giants, the first time we've seen such massive sprites in the game. It's when you guys first leaked that with the Coben's puzzle hype, and the sprite was like so high.
Huge, yeah.
Seeing these guys on the map is, it's heaps of fun. And while we're talking about sprites and stuff, big shout out to Mobis, who made this awesome artwork, allowed me to use it for my thumbnail and the background here. Absolutely cracking with the new sprites.
Psycho.
Yeah. And maybe that's the Towers of Olympia in the background as well. But so you mentioned the little quest line at the start there. And I think starting these off at Tier 6, this quest starts off at, and the first, so you get some star drops, Celestial star drops, pick up a few of them, also made it easier to get the star drop, which is, I think it's okay. I mean, it goes in line with what you've done for the last couple of events as well. What I don't mind is that it's like only on half the quest line, and it's the early part of the quest line, so Tier 6, 7, Tier 8 players can still, you know, do that reasonably, and that still caters to, let's say, the more casual players. They'll get through that and pick up a Jotunheim mnemonic, hopefully, and get a new pet from that, which is, a super cool way of grabbing a new pet. I personally like it, something different, rather than just checking 1,000 bestiaries and buying it, putting it in your keep, and forgetting about it. That's something we've not seen before in an event pet. So what was the... Do you know what the thinking was there? Was that always the plan to use something like that?
So we have heard before that the follower acquisition being strictly bestiaries is something that, while it works, is not always as interesting as it could be, because people can get their followers immediately if they have a good network or a million bestiaries, or they have the time and patience and resources to build a heap, so they can get it all sort of done. So, it's just trialing different things. That's what sort of you'll notice through these events, is it might not be perfect in everyone's eyes just yet, but we're trying a whole heap of different ways to do these. And one thing for people to keep in mind with this is we get a cry all the time when there's maybe not as interesting content. So you can think like, October was maybe a quieter month comparatively to the other events that we've had recently, is that people would wish that the content was engaging over a longer period of time. So there's definitely a bit of a desire here to build these monthly events out, that they're not something that, you should expect to do immediately day one. If you're a hardcore player, people do, but you can expect reasonably that this is something that could keep you occupied for a longer period of time, and then the reward of that being added into the end of gauntlet rewards is something that helps then in reward play long term. So when an event ends, you can keep getting rewards from events as they end, which is a really cool thing. So we saw that with Aglovale during October, we saw it with the Riftlock in Riftfall, which is September. And now we've got the mnemonics, the Jotunheim and Olympia mnemonic for the followers. So you get the one in the quest line, and then you can get more. And I've seen multiple people already get 2 to 3 followers from the higher tier one, which is crazy.
Yeah, I got a second higher tier one as well, actually. Got lucky with that. I didn't even notice it. And then when I was making my roundup video, I realized I had 2 Olympia mnemonics there. So that's awesome. Got the Atlas of Asteria, which for me is perhaps the most exciting one, as it has the Berserk buff, which we haven't seen outside the Chimera pets, but also has a more defensive focused skill set compared to the Chimeras. So That's a very interesting pickup, having a defensive Berserk buffer alongside you rather than an attacking Zerker. So that's another.
And it's potential. a magic one as well. So like, Chimera not working with Snotra has always been a thing, right? Whereas Towerfall is something that will work with Snotra.
Yeah,
but it is defensive
resisted
as well.
By something.
Yeah, we've talked about that. So there's always things that are in the event. Send your feedback, guys. Like, we do read everything. So there's changes, they can happen.
Does it not have the magic sword skill, actually? So it has one element of skill. Or is that another pet?
That might be the other one. I'd have to check, to be honest. I thought that one only had Towerfall.
Maybe. Okay, I mean...
Atlas, Styria, and...
Yeah, I mean, if people are not using the pet because the damaging skill is useless, then maybe it's something to think about. But normally giving a Berserk buff is... the most use case people use the chimeras for anyway, and any extra damage is a bonus. But in terms of acquisition of these new pets, I think it's pretty cool, something different. It gives you a little reminder of the event post event once you get lucky doing dungeons. And again, I don't want to speculate, but hopefully we'll be able to get these via towers. I don't know. It's just once you've done thousands and thousands of dungeons, it does that content does get a little bit hard to begin sometimes. But once you start rolling, it's typically, at least in my opinion, from my side, it's actually starting, which is the most hardest part. But once I'm in and doing some dungeons, then it's usually okay. The next part of this quest line, using the star drops and the moon drops to immediately summon world bosses and raids. This is super cool. I had a comment from Joe a couple of minutes ago saying, first run of event scrolls, which are, everybody was, we had the, was it last month? People were a bit sad because there was so much crossover of so many different event world raids. Whereas this time you've got, The monthly world raid is tied specifically to the moon drops that only happen when you're killing event mobs, which is super cool. Plus, they're immediately private, no option to make them public, which is cool. But the best thing for me is being able to just spam them, and you can. It doesn't take 10 seconds to spawn one, which is really cool.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like the summoning scrolls, summoning one at a time thing has definitely been something that we've heard loud and clear from people before. What's really interesting is like as each month goes by, people will say, I want this to show up next month. So like mimics is a good example. People wanted mimics, but they sort of will forget that will get tied into whatever other, raids are getting summoned for the month as well. So it sort of starts to dilute that pool a little bit. And yeah, definitely hear that complaint around like it sucks that it gets diluted. And we saw this coming into November. It was a natural assumption of people that if we brought back the Sisters of Morrigan, that would already be a diluted pool because of other stuff happening this month. So it was definitely something that we're conscious of and wanting to try different stuff, and it seems really well received. I think like one of the pieces of feedback that I've seen that resonates with me personally is it feels rewarding for doing the event. So you don't start the event and have 300 summoning scrolls on hand and use them all and then feel like, okay, I didn't really do anything this month. I just summoned a heap of stuff and left. Whereas this is like I did a heap of stuff this month, and the reward for that is I've got cool new stuff that I can do later when I feel like it, or now, I can keep going with it and try and get the gear early, or I might save that for later on down the track and do it when I feel like I'm having a quiet week or whatever. So I agree with that stance of feeling rewarded for partaking in the event, putting the work in. And then, it's just so cool. These things look monstrous. They're huge. Like you said, the sprites are really detailed for their size and comparatively to other bosses. Think like that was one of the Coven's things when he saw the big sprites and he's like, oh no, now all the other bosses, I feel like I need to redo them if they're going to be that big. I think it's a really cool mechanic to provide a resource through the event that then has utility. Because if you think back to like the Rift Locks through Riftfall, Rift Fragments, sorry, not the Rift Locks, they just sit in your inventory now. It was a comment that we got about, you know, like, why were we still getting these? Shouldn't they have some sort of utility? So this is, again, to bring back that comment of we're going to try a bunch of different things to see where we can land that feels really good to a vast majority of people. And also sees us just increase activity overall. And activity has been high. I think we had our peak day recently. I think I already made a post about it.
So, high five figures.
Yeah.
I read.
Yeah.
Pretty insane. Yeah. So on the back of Riftfall feedback, where we had those, you know, hundreds of fragments sitting in our inventory doing nothing. So was it on the back of that that you, which is only, you know, a few weeks ago, that you decided to turn these star drops into usable items?
Yeah,
Or was the idea there before?
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just asking if the idea was there before.
I think you'd have to ultimately ask Odie that. I don't know everything that's in his head, but we definitely discuss all this sort of stuff as a team. So we're reading daily. I know that I am.
I know
the other guys do as well, because they often bring up stuff that even I haven't picked up. We try to note things as they are happening and not go like, let's worry about that later. So say through Riftfall, that note about the Rift Fragments not being entirely usable, we knew about well and truly basically from day one onwards, because people were making a comment. So we make a note of it, and we make sure that going forward we try to be conscious of that, because we're not going to be conscious of absolutely everything when you're trying to, you know, create an event that people are going to play. So we just try to take note of all of the comments that come through and make sure to, you know, tie that in to make things go well going forward. But yeah, that one for sure was a piece of feedback that we heard loud and clear. And the implementation of this was one that Odie brought to the team and we all were excited for, and it was great to see. I think this was probably, I'm going to jinx myself right here, probably jinx myself and the team. I think this was the best day one of an event that we've had for a while, you know, in terms of feedback from people. They were pretty pumped about the way this event was designed. So that's pretty cool. Obviously, you get a few people who have their concerns that they share with you, and you try to take that into account. But it was a good day one. We had a few people giving us pats on the back, which felt really nice.
As opposed to Riftfall or
people are passionate.
Yeah, okay.
They want to have fun. But this is good. A lot of compliments.
Yeah, I mean, I think taking the feedback from Riftfall with those and just turning that into something much better for this event in the space of a few weeks is actually pretty impressive, to be honest. So yeah, super cool. And we were having a chat before this. I know you've been farming a little bit. You got a few moon drops, a few star drops. The star drops are, at least at tier 10, they're like pocket god forges, right? Get the tier 10 bosses are.
I got two god forges off star drops. I did,
I got one.
I did like, oh, really? I think I did like 75 star drops the other day with Yebstar. So we split using ours and did them together. And I got two god forges.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can use them with your mates as party player in the world. So times the chance by up to four people. So the other thing, I guess, kind of delayed gratification as well is if players are tier 8, even from tier 6 onwards that are not tier 10 yet, you can keep, if you are farming star drops this month, you can, if you want, keep them until you get to tier 10 and you know in your head that you've got a few hundred chances of god forging later on when you get to tier 10. So, you know, that's an option. And Yebster's got almost 1,000 star drops. Bloody hell. He's been going pretty hard. I think I've got...
Yebster's a machine.
I think for star drops, I've got a couple hundred. And for moon drops, it's about half that. But
Right.
Yeah, I god forged my lightning resist the smelly boots. After I think it was only the second, it's like the second boss or something.
That's cool.
So nice. In terms of gear, what about, is there anything that you are specifically looking for this month from the Titan gear? Yeah.
Yes. The main one that I'm after is the one that's, surprisingly, I guess, got people the most confused, which is the
Atlas Stance,
the globe holder. Yeah, I actually really, really want that one, for my Gilga carries. I think it's going to be fantastic, because it's, you know, a bit of a different way to play. I can have my passive full the whole time. And if I use the Zeus gear, which I actually want the headpiece and the leg piece, because it's got foresight on it, it's got high HP, and it doesn't have ward. So I don't really care for ward if I'm going to be turning my ward off. So it's got those other two things, which is foresight and HP, which I do want. I'll use an Ashen Ruby or two and just basically try to sweep my way into staying high health. My passive should stay still, stay full, which is a really cool way to play. The other thing that the Zeus gear has, which is going to be handy for that carry, is it's got a 7% chance to proc T attack up. So if I have the head slot and the leg slot covered with that, then that means that I should be able to keep my attack even higher as well. So basically I'm doubling up on offensive potency by keeping my passive high and getting that temp attack up.
And chest piece, you will use Asker gear?
I do. I have the Asker chest piece currently.
So that's temp all up. So that's 25% extra temp buffs as well, which is super nice.
Yeah.
The only issue for Gilga there is having mana regen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
currently on my carries, I already have to replenish mana anyway. I'm not perfectly built, I guess.
Yeah okay. Mana potions exist, I guess. Or diffuse ward. Yes. You can still use diffuse ward, by the way.
Yes.
Even when because the ward is still there. It's just not, you don't have any, it's like ward turns, you don't have ward turns kind of thing.
Basically.
But you can use diffuse ward, regain mana, and then your ward will still regen in the background, putting your battle passive back up to max, which gives you 50% extra stats when it's full.
That's probably a great way to go as well, because you're going to be having your health get hit this way. So diffuse ward will help you get some health back. Add mana back in the same turn, so it's a pretty good way to go.
And it's immediate cast, diffuse ward one. I mean, the amount of ward Gilga has naturally, it will for sure give you max mana and max health.
It should help.
Use for hard mode. Yeah, an interesting build. I actually first came across this idea of wardless Gilgamesh maybe 2 years ago, back when I was in EE with Balinor. I don't know if Balinor remembers. He's in the chat right now. He was talking about. It might have been Swash. It might have been Gilga Swash we were talking about, but he had an idea, just not use any ward. And he was using like a lifesteal build, so you'd have that 50% full battle passive, ward is off.
Yep.
But this is way back when. Well, a long time ago. Probably wasn't as much gear, you know. Well, there wasn't as much gear that's with old temp procs and everything, but interesting idea. It also means you can use like low ward, high stat gear, like Fey Morrigan gear, Arisen Morrigan gear coming end of the month as well, maybe. People get lucky.
I've done wardless Gilga before, where I've used a Surtur shield, an Arisen Surtur shield, which has the negative ward on it, but you need to use, I think it's like a legendary or something, because it needs to have
More than one ward.
It needs to have less than that negative 99. So is that more than negative 99? I don't know. You need to not have one ward because you can't recover it to full. That's exactly right. But the problem with that build is if anything had enough penetration to do damage to your ward while your ward was still active, it was a bit of a pain because you start with ward and you had no way to turn it off except for just wait for your ward turns to run out. So you'd try to like get yourself a little bit chonky, you know, use your golem's fortitude and whatever. I did it against raids and then just try to live out the ward turns until they're gone away, and then you can run through a raid. You just needed to not use Gunner, I think, from memory, and then you could run through a raid without taking any damage, which was pretty cool. This is going to be an interesting one to play with. I haven't got it yet. I've got one of them, which is the Palm Branch. I think that's the only one that I've got so far. What about you? Is there anything that you're aiming for?
Well, I don't know what the final state of Tree Cutter is going to be and how it's going to work with Realm. I used it when it was kind of a little bit broken. I think it was to use it in my endless run, got to 600 with it. But I think there's a stance that's going to be even more useful, and that is the Aegir stance, which gives you higher defenses and reduces your magic damage, which yes. obviously as a Realm Shifter playing attack builds, doesn't there's like zero downside to that for Realm or even any attack-based build. Deity, really high stats, Gilgamesh could probably use it in some cases as well. In fact, Granticore used that to go to floor 700 in the Endless yesterday, which is ridiculous. So, yeah, interesting why there's no downside to attack there. Do you know what the actual numbers is on the defense up? Is it? I read somewhere it was like an extra, it literally doubles your defenses. Is that correct, or are you aware?
I don't know. I've only read what the community testing was, and I saw right. that it was 100 and minus 30.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Something
as well.
that's really interesting is that, you know, we've been talking about this, and nearly immediately people find ways to utilize these stances. The first thing that came up was endless re-entry.
Yeah.
Like, that's not exactly what we wanted these to be. They're meant to be things that you use, and there's a trade-off while you use it.
While you use it.
So there's definitely been a conversation internally about, like, what do we do about this? Should it be that the stance only exists while the weapon is in your hand, which yeah. is, you know, one of the things that I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a change to that, but I mean, it hasn't happened yet. It is the weekend though, so we'll see what happens
next week.
this coming week. But I did see that, and I mean, I always have a good chuckle over the community things that they find and achieve. They probably try and achieve your high floors now, I guess.
Yeah.
In case there is a change.
Well,
yeah.
I think if you do put that into it, that you can't, if you can't use a stance that you, when you don't have the weapon equipped, I reckon, you know, I reckon just a small stat buff, I think people would still want to use these for sure. Because the stats are a bit less, but give them a more incentive to run it. Cause it, again, if it's one of those items where you wear it for one floor buff and then chuck it off, kind of, it loses the charm a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know. Items aren't usually designed to be used as a poor or broken and just throw it away after you've used it sort of thing. They're meant to usually be aimed for the good one. But yeah, it's something that definitely we've talked about internally and just sort of like monitoring and seeing what happens and whatever. The endless stuff is pretty crazy though. But I love people discovering this stuff. It's pretty cool. It is funny the turnaround sometimes. Like we have day one, usually it goes like, I don't see how I could possibly use this item. Or the inverse, which is like, well, that item's clearly OP.
Yeah.
And then there's usually like switches that happen. People say like, this is OP, and then we never see them use it. Or this seems terrible, and then heap of people use it. And that's sort of what's happened a little bit with this thing. So, yeah. But the tree cutter you said as well, like you sort of interested in the end state of that one. How would a perfect world tree cutter work for you?
Well, as Realm. Obviously work with high tenacity.
How would a perfectly balanced world tree cutter work for you?
So if you're going to put self damage, I mean, firstly, I think the buff rate on that is nowhere near as high as the defensive buff from the Aegir stance. I think, I don't know what it was. It's like 15% or 20% attack, which is a little bit, but it's not like deal breaking. It's probably, you know, I can definitely do without it. It's not that much, you know, even like a temp attack up is more than that. Okay. Now forgive me. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know what the actual number is, but I don't think it's higher than single up at 25%. So really, if it's a trade off between, you know what I would, you know where I would use it is actually in similar to you. If I was using a carry build and using high health, high HP, like a lifesteal build, because that's actually what I started doing. So I can actually use Gunner and just some Ashen Rubies, a couple of Ashen Rubies, and it can actually carry with Realm, you know, Ascension levels help, but you've still got high attack. You can make use of weapon elements, the Amities that boost that, you know, the Bulwark extra damage, so you can multiply all those up. So in that scenario, I would definitely consider using the Tree Cutter. But it would need to have, well, I guess if it gave 20, let's say 20 or 25% extra damage, it probably would make it usable over a higher attack stat weapon. But it would just need a little bit of testing. That's the only kind of scenario I would see myself using it, to be honest, because otherwise for raids, for example, Realm, you want to redline either normally behind wards, so can't use it there. The place that it definitely can help is, I guess, attack builds with Beowulf, with attack based pets there. The buff buffs their pet, and okay, you'll need to carefully manage the self damage, but it's no different to using Berserks as Beowulf.
Yeah.
So yeah, usable there. Can't think of anything else right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. These stances, they operate differently to Gates. So, you know, like your Snotra, Gunnar, Kara, and where they are on unless you put another one on. These ones are toggleable, so you can turn it on, then you can turn it off by using it again. I think the original design premise for this one was that it's a way to get you down to your Mystic Feather and Resurgence range quicker, and then you turn it off.
Oh, you can turn it off as well, yeah. If you use the skill again, does it turn it off?
Should do, yeah.
Oh, right, okay. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so these work a little bit differently. They should be toggleable, so you turn them on and off. So they're kind of like combat modifiers, you know, like if the Gilgamesh wants to have a little bit more oomph and not have their ward at the start, they can go without, and then they can turn it back on later on if they need that ward. So it's meant to be something that sort of helps you change the tide of battle a little bit, if that makes sense. So I think that was the original design premise, and then there's just a couple of things that come up through community testing, right? Like the damage might need to be capped per turn at 999 as an example, because I think there was instances where people were doing enough damage to kill themselves in one turn. The functioning with high tenacity is not by design. I don't believe that will continue. I think that's one that we've sort of discussed internally as something that shouldn't be the case. That I think, and I don't know if it's still doing it right now. I'd have to check.
Yeah, it is
a weekend, but I think that was to do with an ordering issue. So basically, it was checking what dot was doing damage to you and the berserk's doing damage, so you don't die. That's what happens with high tenacity. So it was only happening when you had berserk as well.
Yeah,
wasn't happening outside of berserk. So if you didn't have berserk on and you use that stance, you would die. So I think that's just sort of like a little bit buggy. So I mean, like that feedback alone, maybe it is that it still functions the way it is, and either the buff does a little bit more to your attack stat, or it has a little bit more attack on the weapon itself. You know, either of those two things might make it a little bit more of an appealing thing. But I think the design premise of that is a lot to do with the conversation around, I have no way to get my health down that isn't berserk. It's like, well, you do.
Or double edge.
You've got or double edge. So you've got this thing where you can get your health down by just doing your normal moves and then turn it off.
Okay.
Yeah. And now you're in Resurgence range.
I didn't even think about being able to turn these off.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to just having a buff and then it stays there for the entire fight. So. Okay, that's interesting. And looking at the magic one, the Asteria stance as well from the Joist, which is a pretty cool looking weapon in itself. It's kind of, it's similar, but it's based around magic and kind of the iconoclast vision of Heretic. So it increases your magic power, but you lose defenses, but you do get mana burn each turn. So again, that's lowering your mana. So it's a way to lose your mana and kind of sacrificing a bit of defense, playing into that glass cannon mage playstyle, but you definitely usable for heretics and I guess mage deities as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's another way to get that mana low, get your passive high. It's going to be interesting to see somebody take advantage of the Heretic Robe, Quetz boots, and that staff all at once and just sort of see what,
yeah,
what, see happens with it. it's another sort of, they're all trade-offy things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And the thing that we also should remember while we're talking about these weapons is that all of these have variants that are lower tiers, not just tier 10. So when you have these accessible in lower tiers, that really changes up the dynamic of those builds in those earlier tiers. Such unique weapons for...
Yeah, for those tiers,
Those tiers, yeah.
That's super cool.
But yeah, it's interesting.
And I guess the final interesting one for me is the banner from Ophion. Again, usable. There's a lower tier version and a tier 10 version where Ophion stance disperses some of your statuses to your followers, to your summoners, minions, I guess. It's cool. It's another way to give buffs to your summons. I have to say, I've not actually played so much with summoner yet, but I'll definitely try and get the gear and play around with it. Alongside the other event gear for summoners, but yeah, what about yourself?
I think it's so cool. It's a great trade-off item as well, because it means that anything that you take that's a negative status can actually go to your followers too.
Yeah.
So it's just status effects. It's not just buffs. It's everything, debuffs and status, you know, crowd control sort of status effects in there as well. So it makes everything a little bit chaotic. What it's really cool is that it gives the opportunity to play these classes a little bit less blood pack heavy and a little bit more. Summon's doing a bunch of damage, and I know that people have already talked about endless stuff with that as well. You know, that late tier 10 high ascended endless stuff is such a microcosm of the actual community, but it's always hilarious to see this is a representation of what this item can do. It's awesome seeing that stuff. I think it's good fun. But yeah, now we're seeing these screenshots come up where there's a billion different buffs on every summon that's out there, and
you can't see the background. Yeah.
Oh mate, I can't wait to see some of these things. And you know, like there's already been some items. I know that there's a lot of event tied items for summoner. It's just a new class, so that's going to happen a lot. There's going to be some things that are tied to events, and there will be more added that will be not so event heavy. But the cool thing is you're getting new toys all the time. But there was already the weapon in October, the Aglavale, which I've seen two people with ornates of already, and somebody's got a Godforged 198 Aglavale, which had the arcane
double up.
And people were using that with their arcane trolls and whatever now.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. So it's great seeing these things. But yeah, that new banner, I think there's going to be a lot of fun had with that, as there will be with the summoner / Valhalla gear in general. The gear is for both, which is pretty interesting.
Gives you stat boost to your follower or your summons, right?
Which is, you know, we have this well-known community member, Mr. Fuximus. Been chasing a set of legs from the Fey Chimera for a very, very long time, and now he's transitioned over to summoner. He does not care for the Fey Chimera legs anymore.
Thank God. And then there's a bunch
of gear that gets added that's for Valhallans and for summoners, his two high classes. So I've naturally just been winding him up that he won't get the legs this month. That's the only thing that he won't get.
I got a story on that, because we were trading Fake Chimera World Raids for Fake Cockatrice. I was after Crimson Pinions with Fuximus. And so I'd done 50% to these Fake Chimeras and myself. And then he came along, killed about 20 odd at my place. And I didn't know he was looking for the Fey Chimera Greaves. I got ornate Fey Chimera Greaves after like the second kill, and sent him a message. I just got these big wall of text saying on his rant how many. I don't even want to see his codex on how many Fey Chimeras he's killed. But yeah, he can forget about that now.
And
get these focus on the moon drops and star drops to farm the new gear. Always nice to have something.
Oh, dude, he's
good fun.
this is just such a thing for him. That story that you've told, you're not the only one, because that happened with me and him as well. I got ornate legs while he was doing them with me, and apparently that's happened quite a few times. The poor bloke just, you know, he's been chasing them for so long. But yeah, he can move past it, and hopefully he gets them this month. But yes, I mean, these weapons, they're cool. The gear, I actually think the gear is pretty cool. The Zeus raid is what's the term? We say a laundry list, but I think that the term is like a CVS receipt or something like that, that they use in the States. It's just a long, long list of scroll for ages of all the gear that can drop off that thing.
I think we'd call it a shopping list. Yeah.
Shopping list, there you go. And Greater Souls.
And Lightning Stone.
Mm. Well, do you need Lightning Stone, do you? I know Probably. That people complain about Greater Souls, but...
Well, I guess people will complain more about Greater Souls now that some kind of Colosseum alt running is no longer possible. But
yeah.
Oops. I mean, Greater Souls always in need with the higher tier gear. So yeah, nice to have. And as you said, you know, if you're killing a lot of these Zeus is already doing a lot of damage, then it's just like you're there scrolling for ages to find it. I mean, typically if you're gonna do damage, it at least gives you more opportunities to see reds, see ornate stuff. Yes. But as I was saying at the beginning, yeah, I most similarly kind of compare this most closely to the Merlin raid, purely on that fact that this it can drop gear for so many tiers. Just a reminder, even though that the raid itself is tier 9, you do not need to be tier 9 or above to get the gear. As long as you can deal more than one damage of HP to the tier to the raid, you will get into the drop pool for its gear. And you can receive gear up to your level, up to your tier. So even if you're a tier 5, you can deal one damage to Zeus and you can get tier 5 gear from it. So definitely worth hitting. Yes. I think at the lower tiers, it's actually pretty usable gear. Again, with event gear, lower tiers, especially if your kingdom is not necessarily turning over these raids as frequently as, you know, higher tier kingdoms, you still can get lucky, and it's still another chance to get some very usable piece of gear. So yeah, HP, decent stats, bit of ward, bit of foresight. It's definitely usable. I think HP is underrated in early to mid game.
Oh, early tiers, it's huge, right? Yeah. You only have early game sometimes 1,000, 2,000 health, and this adds a big chunk to that. So and then for arena, if you happen to be doing that in low tiers, you're gonna double that again. So
it's a
big boost.
If only foresight in arena was useful.
Yeah, well, it was for like a tiny period, right? Or was that just in testing?
No, well, it's just live PvP. It's gone. So there is a question from Joe there. I don't know if you can answer this, but is there ever going to be another? He's saying another Northern Forge PvP event, but there hasn't actually been a Northern Forge PvP event, has there?
Not since I've been on, I don't think. We'd want one. Yeah, we would love to do that sort of thing for sure.
You came and helped me commentate on the Orna Legends tournament.
That was so fun.
That was insane. Yeah. I mean, thing is now that people have got more amities, Summoner wasn't in the last tournament, so that's here now. So yeah, thinking of having another. Northern Forge endorsed tournament. Yeah.
So I have a bit of an answer to that question because we've discussed it before internally for sure.
Okay.
And one of the things that we would like to exist before we ran one of those events is a way to, I guess, kind of like a spectator mode where you could watch what was happening. And if we don't have that, it might just feel a bit too clunky otherwise.
Yeah, it's definitely clunky.
If we could have...
At least to show it live. It's a bit awkward.
For sure. So some sort of spectator mode was something that we talked about for sure. And, you know, that whole faction wars stuff and whatever isn't something that's gone away forever. We would like to do that sort of stuff. But, amongst everything, it's definitely not the priority number one right now. Towers is priority number one right now outside of Aetheric. Obviously, we've got Aetheric releasing 9 days or 10 days for some people, I guess.
So what's your what's your plans for Aethric then? Are you gonna just gonna play a new character from the start, and have you got a planned kingdom, or what are your plans, if you have any?
So I've done something which might seem a little bit odd to some people with Aethric, which is I've actually kept myself as much in the dark as I kind of can. I've played a fair bit of the testing, but only in early areas. I've not pushed too far out, just sort of, you know, tried mechanics to make sure they work and whatever, because I actually want to have the experience somewhat fresh when I start.
Okay, interesting. So how far have you got? Yeah. How far have you got to? Like, literally Svarga, or have you crossed the bridge?
No, not crossed the bridge.
So you're talking like tier 2, tier 3 maximum probably.
Tier 3, exactly. Okay. So I've played it sort of early, and I would like to do something with it. I'm not exactly sure yet. I know I tried to do a playthrough with Orna, and between two jobs, a family and everything, the time sink in that was like, I was doing like 10 hours of video just because I'm a crap slow editor or whatever, and it didn't quite work the way I wanted to, but maybe Aethric will. Maybe Aethric's something that's a lot easier to just record and hit stop and upload the thing. That's
I guess
you do with things. And I don't think that that's something unique. I think there's a couple of people out there who want to do a bit of content for Aethric just because it's going to be a little bit easier. You can use an emulator to run it. It's going to be fun. So I want to see how it goes. The team itself, and I don't want to get people too pumped just in case it doesn't happen, but I think Pearly's plan was that we would do a live stream as it went live.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think it... You likely couldn't on that day because it's a work day, right? But I don't know if there's anyone else that So yourself, are you likely to do something? You'd be sick on that day, you reckon? Feeling a bit under the weather.
Good. It's actually my birthday week. I should have taken the week off. And
Really?
A bit late now, maybe. But
do you have plans like the weekend, or I mean, even just at some point with Aethric?
Oh for sure. So. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. Well, I'm going to make a main character play through the game. I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of kingdom stuff. I was thinking of just making like a super chill kingdom for Orna Legends people, you know, people who are active on Orna Legends Discord. People can just hop in and chill out a bit, because there's no kingdom wars in Aethric, unless that's going to change, which I don't think it will. So it will be down to kingdom quests for people to level up. But I think, just having some chill vibes in there. And hopefully, like what I'm envisioning, hopefully is, people who just, whatever stage I'm at, you know, try and get a party running, be that in the game or in Discord, get a party up and running, play for a bit, do some dungeons with people, and just play through the game. I'm not going to... If I had the week off, I might have done something like try and get first 250, but I just don't have the time, unfortunately. So
need more than a weekend, right? You need more than a week for that.
Maybe more than a week, but I know there's some people who are going to go for that. That would be exciting, but unfortunately, I can't partake in it at the moment. On the back of that, I definitely have a couple of pretty cool kind of challenge runs, which I'm going to do in Aethric on different characters. So I started something called Questing Man. On Orna, but I didn't take it so far, unfortunately. But I think on Aethric it plays a bit more, as you said, it's a bit easier to make content for it, and it would be easier for me to keep that running. And I think it's a nice challenge, and I've got a couple of other ideas as well. So. Play into that, and see how we go. But no, I'm just looking forward to getting some, getting parties going and people hanging out at the mushroom, getting those first dungeon runs. Maybe even like carrying people through their first dungeons and things, you know. Offering carry runs, because in Orna it's like you didn't have that. It's so kind of it's much more open world, whereas with Aethric you. Everybody's starting fresh, you know, and everybody's in the same kind of place. It's like getting help to pass a certain boss, you know, you can have someone carry you through a dungeon instead. Okay, not everybody's going to want to do that, but maybe some people are going to want to do that. So, and just, you know, farming a spot, farming bosses in a spot, see where it spawns, run, kill the boss, see where it spawns again, you know. It's a new way to farm. As yeah. if we didn't have enough ways. Well, the thing is, I've been farming in Orna for God knows how long. So, yeah, just to do something new is going to be fun, I think.
Yeah, it's going to feel more live than alive, I should say, than Orna. Seeing other people's characters in exactly. town and yeah. then your party out in the world with you, it's going to be pretty cool. You can coordinate where you're going next and all that sort of stuff. And it should be... should be a little bit of fun, but the content creation side for sure. Like, I think it's just going to be easier. I'm just looking now. So,
what is he doing?
When I try to do videos outside, I have this camera, I have okay. that camera, I have two different lavalier mics here.
Jesus.
I was using different phones, and there would always be some sort of issue, right? You try to record audio and one of them fails and then the other one sounds like crap and then the focus is out on the camera or whatever. Yeah, Atric, if I can just sit here and do it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Oh, it's be a million slightly less yeah. awkward, yeah. All that gear, Dangy, yeah. and we haven't seen a video from you in so long. Come on.
I know, dude. I know. I actually have a couple of videos that never made the light of day either, sat on the cutting room floor because I'm just too slow at editing. I tend to like put the priority of my owner time on deal with DMs, deal with pings, read, you know, like do all that sort of stuff. And I, you know, get another job and a family or whatever. And then it's like, all right, now go and do videos. There's no time left in the day. So yeah, I would like to get into that for sure. And I think this might be a bit of an easier way to go about doing it. Hit record, start playing for 30 minutes, hit stop, and then, yeah, you got a thing. But that would be cool. That's right. Maybe some new Dangy videos coming. I actually see there's a ping there for me. Is there a chance old events come back in the future? Yes, old events do come back. That's been a trend in Orna for a while now.
Yeah, good.
So, yes.
Yeah, two old events coming this month.
Mm-hmm. So, and we'll do the same again in December. I think there might be a couple in there, plus some other stuff.
Yeah,
December's already pretty fun. Packed. How it was last year?
Yeah, it was super duper last year with the pets yeah. every day. Oh no, wait. Yeah. So all the pets are available on Christmas Day. Is that right?
So there's a couple of things on the non-denominational day on the 25th of December or whatever. Their presents. You got a
presents,
extra
yeah.
rewards for opening them. And then the Friends and Family Day was then, so you could get any follow-up from previous events. So that was like one of the coolest networking days on the Orna Discord last year, was just seeing so many people saying, I've got this, come over here. So that was awesome. And great. Then obviously you got the 10 days of raids too.
Yeah, 10 days of raids. That's it. That's the one, yeah. Great way to break in your new phone on Christmas Day. Spend hours checking mysteries, all the stuff, and opening yeah. hundreds of presents. The Alphars.
The presents were so cool last year because there was a few people who were just like, I think it's worth waiting till Christmas just and just case. See what yeah. happens, just in case. And then that opening, you did a video, didn't you? Opening
yeah,
100
did, yeah.
of them on Christmas or something. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I still have some left from last year, so. Hopefully, I can't remember how easy it was to use them, whether it was easier than summoning scrolls or not. But I would love if it was just like really fast.
You could put just in tap. The quick access yeah. or something. There've been quite a few comments this month about like, can we customize quick access? Can we do something with it? So definitely read that, and you know, UI stuff is always being tweaked, but that might be cool. One of the cool ones is any of those sort of little consumable things. If you could choose what you put there, whether it be Farsights or Beast Bloods or whatever you wanted in quick access, I don't mind that idea.
I drank a couple of Vulcan brews by mistake. I heard trying to put a torch on. yeah. Anyway, so I sent them all to my keep. But yeah, being able to customize would be pretty cool. But even just using some, like, what, using the presence or summoning scrolls from your inventory, just like having it really quick, that would be absolutely fine for me. I don't know how complicated that would be, of course, but we can always dream for Christmas.
I never know how complicated it is. I just always go to Odie with, why don't you just do this?
Yeah.
Which people tell me is the thing that you never meant to say to coders. Just do this.
Just stop using that word.
Yeah, I know. there's always tweaks to the game. I think things like UI and inventory management is something that is probably, in general, something that Odie's pretty eager to do something about.
Okay.
Obviously, like, that is something that is a player concern. It's not the friendliest inventory management system in the world, I guess. But then, like, just from a technical standpoint, it leads to the most, network traffic when you have a bunch of large inventories sending and receiving data. So, tightening that up is something that's a priority for Odie at some point. Amongst
add it to the list.
Aetheric Towers, Other Realms. Other Realms is one that people talk about nearly daily, I think, as well.
Mm. Yeah, but it's coming soon, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think at least this time there's not a. I think last time we said it's coming soon, we put a date to it, and it just sort of it didn't quite happen. The issue of delivering rewards remained. It sort of becomes a little bit of a manual task right now, where one poor guy has to sit there and trigger a whole heap of things, which takes a long time. And we want to make sure that there's not a big manual task and there's not holding people up and whatever. So there's just some stuff that are getting fixed up. But then obviously the stuff that people don't see is everything that happens with Aetheric and then the new events that are getting created on the side. So I think that one should come sometime within the next couple of months, but I don't really know and I don't really want to give a firm date on it this time around.
Okay.
It's just one that will disappoint people if it doesn't land at that time.
Okay,
I want it too.
I know everybody wants it because it's such an awesome thing. So, all right, not to worry. All right, well, thanks for the chat, Dangy. I'm pumped to maybe see you in Aetheric, see your character in Aetheric in the towns.
Yes.
And when I have played it, I have been clicking on every character sprite to see who it is. Maybe eventually we'll get name tags on above us on the world map. That would be cool. See who it actually is.
For sure. I can't wait to play with a bunch of people. Hopefully this is one that we have a lot of opportunity to maybe we can do some stuff together. For your YouTube channel or whatever.
For the podcast.
Do a couple of videos. Yeah.
Play with the viewers.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Carrot. Could be
well,
fun.
Carry the viewers through the mushroom dungeon. There you go.
There you go. That could be fun, actually.
Yeah.
Carry me and the viewers through the mushroom dungeon.
You can play support, Danny. Or you can play your Gilga build, HP build, no ward build.
Mate. That's the thing. So all of these events are going to be... These new cool events will be a staple within Aetheric, right? Like, our experience growing up through Orna with wait 6 months for the next event that has something cool, which was the Ring of Day, and that's all you really play for out of normal stuff. It's not the way. Like, there's going to be new stuff all the time. So we're going to go through Aetheric thinking we know it all, and then we're going to be like, how do we play in Tier 7? With this brand new event gear that we've never heard before. Yeah, just play Swashbuckler the whole way through. You probably will as well.
Tier 7.
Arrows till Tier 7 and then Swashbuckler it up. Yep.
I'm debating. That's the thing. I'm debating what to play. And right now it's a toss-up between, Swash or Berserker and probably Summoner, to be honest. Or Pet Class, because Pet Class is fun early tiers, but we'll see. Do you have
It's Summoner as well.
Yeah, and of course Summoner. Summoner
properly.
Yeah. Do you know what class line you're going to do first in Aetheric, by the way, as our final point? Or
always, I've always had the affinity for Warriors, but I also should probably try and play through something else. I've started my only two characters on the beta as Warriors.
Of course.
So that's sort of where I go to. And Warriors are pretty easy as the first class to choose.
They are, in my opinion.
For sure. Yeah, you can get that Fallen Warriors sword relatively easily. And
you can get the Fallen Mage staff as well. Just as easily.
Mana you have to worry about, right? Mana with the mages, you start to run out of it pretty quickly, right?
Can't use the attack button to such to the same power yet.
Yeah, so I mean, I should probably steer away from it through the middling tiers. The playthrough that I was doing on Orna, I wanted to go the follower style and lean into that follower style a little bit. So that's maybe something that I could do. When does Kerberos normally come around again?
February.
Maybe there'll be. Yeah, there might be good gear by the Christmas. Time I'm tier 8 or whatever.
Oh, you might be there by Christmas as well.
Might be, yeah. Who knows? We'll see how hard I can smash it. But, looking forward to playing through and letting it feel like a brand new experience to me. Very, very excited. The demos I've got from the team of the map and the user interface is fair bit different to Orna, I guess, the menus and everything. They're the same once you're in the game, but the menu layout's different. And even just small things like the rocks shimmering on the ground when you can pick them up. Like there's a few cool little things about it. So I can't wait to, get amongst it. And
give it a bash.
Give it a bash, yeah. The only thing is now, as many of the Orna players, I'm like, how do I balance my, because I'll probably still want to play Orna as well. But I think I'll see Aethric as my sort of more casual play it over a very long time and get my character up a bit slowly and still do my grind botting with Orna, with anyone
that wants to. That's my idea as well at the moment, but I would not be surprised if I get into it and all of a sudden see me. You know, if I'm working from home and I've got Aethric in the background and, you know, fucking grinding world mobs up in down in Avalon or wherever for days and smash the content and stuff. But we'll see. If I enjoy playing it, I'm gonna play it, whether that's Orna or Aethric. So,
hey, fingers crossed for us all. It brings in a brand new massive audience, and then Shabash can become a full-time YouTuber, and the studio can grow, and then the content can get better and better for everyone. Fingers crossed, hey.
Who knows? This time next year could be a absolutely massive episode 24 or episode 28 Arisen podcast. Stay tuned for that.
All right, let's see. Hold us to account. Episode 28, we're going to be multi-millionaires. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. On that note, thanks very much, Dang. It's been great chatting to you. Thanks, everybody. Made it watching live. And if you're watching or listening this after, we appreciate all the support, all the feedback. I actually send snippets of feedback to Dangy if I receive it in-game or elsewhere. So we actually love that. I know Dangy does, and I do as well.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Always good fun. Thanks, Shabash. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks, mate. And everybody watching as well, have a great day. See you next time.
Bye.
Ciao.